Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hi, Rashida.
Hey, Lauren. How's it going?
I'm good. We're just watching Daniel Tiger.
Gotta love Daniel Tiger. I'm pretty sure I shared with you and the besties in a previous episode. I feel like we had a guest, but I am still in the baby shark phase, and it is not. It is ramping up, like everything baby shark. Like, he'll find a blue shark and its dad. He's like has three daddy sharks. Mm-hmm. We went to the carnival the other week, and you know, like the little thing that you hammer down, you have to like get it to ding, like the.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I asked those people, I was like, look, how much to just buy this shark over here? Because he is flipping out. They were like, you could get him to try it. And I'm like, okay. So I actually like had to hold the little hammer for him and like had him, you know, knock it down. It was a really cute moment. And he's like, shark? Daddy, shark? So we got his little shark. And it's this plastic little thing, Lauren. That boy wants to sleep with this thing.
Aww.
I literally, and he is like hugging it at night. So I let him fall asleep with it. And then when I put Macy, or Daniel puts Macy in her bed, I will take it out. Because I just have like this little fear of him like hugging it too tight to his face, you know? But yeah, I would love Daniel Tiger. But I put different things on sometimes, and he'll just be like, baby.
Yeah.
Baby. I'm like, okay. All right.
I mean, we went through all of that too. And this is like Daniel Tiger part two, because she really liked it a little while ago, but now she's into it again. And I'm so glad, because she's so nice when she watches it. And we use the songs and stuff, and it's really helpful. Like, she's potty trained now, and she sings to everybody, like, and you have to go potty, stop, and go right away. Like, she tells everybody that.
I love that. So,
yeah.
So that's amazing.
It's very helpful. Yeah.
See, Daniel Tiger. Like, it's about, like, what we consume, man, and
yeah.
That mm-hmm. makes up who we are as well. Did she just say Daniel Tiger in the background?
Yeah. You know, one of the wonderful things about this show, well, one, it's a, like, Mr. Rogers production. I was a huge Mr. Rogers fan when I was a kid, but they are very consciously putting together content for children that teaches emotional intelligence.
Mm.
So that's really what it's all about. It's about like relational intelligence, emotional intelligence, how to manage your emotions, essentially. And then they give little songs and stuff for everything. And I found it to be like hugely helpful. And I've gotten a lot of parenting help from this show. And it just normalizes the emotions that come up, you know, not only with toddlers, but with everybody. So I'm super grateful for Mr. Rogers and super grateful for Daniel Tiger. We're not a no screen time family. We allow it because I don't want to. I've gone through phases with it. I'm sure I've talked about it on here before. I just don't want to make it a big thing, you know? Like,
yes,
it's there. It's an option as a thing to do, but it's not the thing to do. It's just,
right,
you know,
not falling back on that as the only option, or having moments and pockets in time that it's appropriate and it's not appropriate. Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, it boils down to balance, honestly. I think there was a Instagram post that, I don't know about you, but I love reading comments because I just like seeing like the polarities of people's opinions. Mm-hmm. I find it sometimes highly disturbing, but also highly funny. And people were talking about screen times, and there was the one side where there was like, well, if you just, you know, taught your kid not to play with games and stuff like that, then you wouldn't have this issue. And I'm just like, the games aren't the issue. Mm-hmm. Like, not having the screen time is not the issue. And then you had also people who kind of had like your stance. They were like, you know, my kids play with games, and it's just a time and a place. And sometimes they have to like complete certain tasks, and then they earn their screen time, you know, and that's great for older kids. I may be able to do that with Macy, but Miles is going to be like, what do you mean I got to earn?
Yeah, like, that's
not going to work yet.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so funny, like, how we're still just, and honestly, I feel like it's a social media thing, right? Mm-hmm. But we're just in this place where we feel like it's black and white, and we just forget to have just, like, compassion and understanding for everyone. Yeah. And their season of life, there is no right or wrong way. I think that's the biggest lesson we learn in parenting. But I don't know, people still forget that. Show compassion for not only yourself, but for others.
Well, that's a good segue into who we're talking about today. So we're going to dive in a little bit to the goddess Kuan Yin, who has always been a goddess I felt drawn to. So in Kansas City, where I live, at the Nelson Atkins Art Museum, there is like a giant wooden sculpture of Kuan Yin that is so beautiful. And I have historically loved to go into the room where she is and just sit with her for a while, because there's just this like beautiful energy emanating from her, and kind energy. And yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about her today and just see where it goes with you. And I also think, like you're saying, there is so much arguing and what we might call like a zero-sum game among the internet culture. I personally, like in my life in person, I just don't see it as much. I see a lot more like willingness to have conversations and stuff, but it's so easy just to go into the black and white online, I think, to be blunt in a way that we wouldn't be with people in person. And, you know, we're going into an election year here in the U.S. So I think it's what better time to call in the energy of Kuan Yin than now.
Absolutely. And what I know for sure is that she, actually I will share later. You go ahead and you start.
Well, I'm so curious now, but
no, it's probably the same thing. No, when I think of Kuan Yin and when I've like worked with her and learned a little bit about her, like she attained enlightenment, you know, she attained that state, but she loved humanity so much that she chose to stay here and just have so much compassion and wanted to give us protection and help us with our spiritual gifts. And, you know, when you think about that energy or that type of goddess, I mean, there was something about humanity. We should not try to leave what it is to be human, but really accept and really work with that and honor that. So that's one of the biggest things I love about a Kuan Yin is, one, her protection and her willingness to want to be here with us and really like help us.
Yeah. In Buddhism, she's called a bodhisattva, and they are enlightened beings who've chosen to stay with humanity essentially. So I am going to read from my book, Legendary Ladies by Anne Shen, and I'll share a little story from here, and then we can talk a little bit more. So Kuan Yin is of Chinese origin. She is the goddess of mercy and kindness. She began her life as a mortal princess named Mao Shan. Her cruel father, a king, had married her two older sisters off to wealthy but wicked men. Seeing their unhappiness, Kuan Yin asked to be sent to a temple to work and worship. The king complied, but ordered the temple residents to give her the most difficult menial tasks and make her work while others slept. All the animals around the temple saw the hardship she bore without complaint and came to help her. Tigers gathered firewood for the fire, snakes brought water, birds collected vegetables, and the spirit of fire cooked food. When Kuan Yin's father heard of the miracles occurring in the temple, he became angry and ordered her to be killed. When Kuan Yin was ushered to the gates of the afterlife, she heard a cry of suffering from below. She decided to retain human form and became a bodhisattva, a person who can reach nirvana but chooses to delay it in order to help suffering souls. Her goodness transformed her into a goddess. Now just saying her names brings protection from harm. Often portrayed in a white gown and seated upon a lotus throne, Kuan Yin is a beloved divinity who bestows mercy and compassion on anyone who calls her name. She is a devout vegetarian, and her devotees will also follow her diet, especially on her sacred days. And it adds, call on Kuan Yin when you are in need of compassion and mercy, whether from yourself or others. So you're totally right about her choosing to stay with humanity. And I love like the visual of the animals helping her, because I think of Snow White.
Yeah, I totally was thinking that too.
And we just recorded today, but I think it will have come out several weeks before this, a heart chakra episode where we're talking about like spending time with animals and doing acts of service. And that is like so Kuan Yin. She really lives in that heart space. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I want to add, when I am working with a goddess or talking about a goddess, I'm really just talking about a specific frequency. Like, yes, there is this mythology behind it and a personification of it through Kuan Yin. But for me, it's really calling in like mercy and compassion, right? And wanting to embody those qualities within myself. And it can be helpful, I think, as humans to look to stories and look to human examples to create that connection and that frequency within ourselves, rather than thinking about it as an abstract concept. So yeah, she's a beautiful, peaceful figure and, you know, a feminist figure as well, having chosen to opt out of the married life, even though she's a royal, and even though her own father was very much against her choices, even though they were acts of service and quite holy and things, you know, you can only hope for your children, to be able to embody those qualities. Yeah. What does it bring up for you?
Yeah. When you think of that story, you know, her choosing something else, and then, you know, the king saying, give her the most hardest tasks while everyone else sleeps, she has to work. It brings to mind suffering for me. And instead of Kuan Yin choosing to accept that, she accepted the tasks for what they were and did them without complaint. And as she was doing that, you saw that she had so much support and love, you know, being Miss Snow White over there with all of her tasks being helped. But when you apply this story into our life and what it means to be human, I feel like sometimes we can choose the road of suffering and pain, and we become so fixated on that we lose sight of the support that we really do have, and we lose sight of maybe the lesson that is meant for us within this particular phase of our life. And if we look at Kuan Yin and look at her energy and what she represents, she had enough self-love to do these tasks with passion, and she got the support she needed, right? So when we think about where we are, if we feel like we're And you know, I say this from a place of, I do live in the United States. I am very privileged and I am very blessed to be here. Even in that, there have been moments in my life where I've suffered, and I can see the difference in where, when I not just accepted it, but decided to choose myself out of it, that I was able to pull myself out so much more easily than I was when I just chose and I thought that I deserved this particular thing. And for me, that's what Kuan Yin represents. She represents that half or that part of the equation that you're choosing self-love. You're not choosing to stay in the pain and the suffering. And she had the examples of being supported. And even though I didn't physically have someone saying, I see you're struggling with this, you know, I know that I'm being held. I know that I'm being supported. I know I had good friends and friends that would have helped me if I had asked in certain things. And I think it's sometimes we become super addicted to the negative, and Kuan Yin represents the opposite of that for me, even in this story. So yeah, I mean, that's what her energy really, just like that self-love, that gentleness, that compassion, that pure of heart, instead of thinking that I deserve this like suffering and this pain, you know, how can I make my life a little more easier or more easeful? Where can I be more gentle with myself or even others?
Yeah. I like what you have to say about that, because I've definitely, I mean, I've observed it within myself and I've seen it within others of being on this like loop of victimhood and of suffering, and it does sort of becomes hard to get out of. It's like this, it's a vortex of suffering in a way.
Yes.
And it can make us really blind to the suffering of others because we're so self-absorbed in a way.
Yes.
And I'll also add that if we're grieving, if we are suffering, like there is nothing wrong with that. You don't have to deny that. I think maybe the loop happens when we don't like fully see it through,
you know, like push down that like emotion. That's what you're talking about.
In a way, or, you know, eventually it serves us to channel that into something useful.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, we've heard, like, I know I have, like, a lot of people that I follow and I've listened to, you know, them being told no so many times, or things, doors not opening for them, you know, they could have said that, you know, this was it, this is my lot, this is what I get. But when we think about our dharma in this way, that is not it. These doors are closed, or these obstacles are in our way to redirect us or to get us to learn a lesson. And if we stay in this part of our path, probably going in circles, right? There's a path that's off path and you come back on path, you go on and off, you're not moving past that obstacle. You're not learning that lesson to kind of like push through and actually get to what it is you are truly desiring. I feel that so much. Yeah.
I see it as like just getting out of our own way a lot of times, because that's what can keep that feedback loop going, is we're self-perpetuating. Yeah, I find that really interesting. And I also think that we all want understanding. We feel connected to others in our suffering when we feel seen, I think. When someone acknowledges, like, oh man, that must be really hard. Maybe if we're grieving or going through sickness or, you know, whatever the hardship life can bring. And it's good to question, am I being that for others? Or am I stuck in my own bubble?
Yeah.
That's really like just the golden rule, right? Treating others as we want to be treated. And the energy of Kuan Yin certainly invites us to do that. So it's not just expecting compassion for others, not just calling on her for compassion and mercy, but calling on her to help us hold compassion and mercy for others, especially when it's really hard.
Yes. Like just stepping outside of yourself to like see it for what it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to offer up a practice that my teacher Jen Yarrow taught me and that I've passed down to all of my students and teacher trainees over the years, that is of Buddhist origin, called Metta Bhavana. Mm-hmm. And it's metta is the energy of loving kindness. There are a lot of different kinds of metta meditations, but Metta Bhavana specifically goes through different phases where you're focusing loving kindness onto an object or a person. So you spend a few minutes first with someone that you love. So it's like you're imagining that person in front of you and you're offering them up from your heart, metta or loving kindness. And then you bring into your consciousness after that somebody that you have like neutral feelings about. So grocery store clerk, you know, somebody that you don't really like know, but you don't have a lot of feeling towards, and you offer them loving kindness. And then you bring somebody in front of you that you have a hard time loving and you offer them loving kindness. And then it's yourself after that. And then it's like the world. So this is such a great practice to help us start to develop more compassion, especially toward the person we have a hard time loving and toward ourselves. Mm-hmm. I see like that's where the roadblocks usually come up, because the first person's somebody that's just easy to love, right? Like I'm going to pick a kid or my child or, you know, somebody that I don't have to like, I don't have to dig very deep.
You don't have to work hard for, yeah.
No, but then we get the muscle kind of moving. So by the time it's somebody that you have a negative charge with, that it starts to become a little bit easier, right? And somebody like Kuan Yin or like even Jesus or Yeshua, you know, they're not withholding that compassion from anybody based on their behavior or based on their choices, but based on who they are. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't, we don't discriminate who receives compassion and who doesn't, which is hard to do.
It is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you're leading from the heart, I think, you know, as I say that, I feel like in our society growing up, we're not taught to lead from the heart. We're taught mm-hmm. to protect, to block it, to not be open with it. Because we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to feel that pain. We don't want to get got, so to speak. And I think, you know, as I think about it and think about like how kids are being raised, I know we're trying to do something different, but that's just such a hard place to be. When kids naturally love, they naturally want to give that to you. And so many are being taught the opposite. But leading from your heart, wanting to have others feel good, and you want to be the source of that. I think it's such a great lesson.
I think it's so much easier when we're kids at times, you know, like, of course, mm-hmm. kids are going to slip into some of our more like unsavory characteristics as humans at times. And I don't like him. I don't want to share this or that.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately, like for me, growing up in the church, what I was taught was love and compassion, and was like, cool, I got it. Like, yeah, I can see like how to apply that to different choices in my life. I'm not always going to do it perfectly, but I get it. And then as I get older, I see, you know, this huge dichotomy between what is being taught and what is being actually practiced. Mm-hmm. And it felt like this chasm I couldn't really connect. So it's nice to like keep it simple again and be like, well, what is the kind thing to do?
Yeah, I love
that.
The
kind thing isn't always the nice thing either.
I think that's a great point. That as we're thinking about love and compassion and making people feel good or being kind, you're right. It's not always the nice or positive thing.
Yeah. Just as like a silly example, like, girl, please tell me if I have food in my teeth.
I mean, I would want someone to do that for me. And I don't think that that's not, I'd be like, I would hurt more if you were to like be seeing me talk with like some spinach or something stuck on my and not say anything. I'm not going to be embarrassed. So the embarrassing part is that you let me go this long and
exactly.
I didn't know that.
Exactly. No, but the kind thing might be to set a boundary. The kind thing might be to have the hard conversation, from a place of love, like
of love,
you know, there are many examples, and compassion, I don't think always looks pretty
lovey-dovey and pretty and feels. Yeah, well, I think, you know, you really have to examine what that word means and what it means mm-hmm. for you, and if you have a true understanding to even know, like, if you're being 100% compassionate.
Yeah. I want to add too that compassion also like does not align with toxic positivity or just being positive, because in order to have compassion for somebody else, you need to be able to tap into their sadness and their suffering. Like, otherwise, I don't know. How can we possibly like imagine what they're feeling if we don't let ourselves feel it too?
Well, yeah, when you're being so positive that it's stupid, you're bypassing like what is real. You're bypassing your human experience. And in essence, you're being fake and you're doing exactly what it is you set out not to do when you started walking your spiritual path. I think sometimes when we are in this space, a lot of times people think that, oh, you need to be positive, you need to say high vibe, and you need to like not cause waves and all of these things. And I don't think that you should do those things all the time, but there is always a time and a place to cause waves. There is always a time and a place to speak up and speak out. And you can lovingly, compassionately call somebody out on their shit. And that sometimes, you know, calling someone out is being compassionate. The way in which you do it is where that compassion piece comes in and what's going to come of it as well. I would much rather someone say something to me instead of letting me go about, maybe if I'm saying something wrong or I'm teaching something that's not exactly helpful or can be damaging. If I've never thought about the other side of the coin, I don't see myself doing that. But just in general, I think it would be detrimental because you don't want to cause any waves and like not say anything to me. The compassionate thing would be, hey, Rashida, can I talk to you? Can we have a conversation about this thing? This is what I think. And if they choose not to listen or to listen or whatever the case may be, it's up to them, but you've done exactly what you needed to do. And I don't know, I feel like a lot of times we just let things go because we don't want to cause negative feelings in a way, but the negative feelings, those emotions are part of the human experience. We're not meant to like bypass them. We're not meant to pretend they don't exist. And because we are all in this space of co-creation, you are meant to call me out on my shit, just like I'm meant to call you out on yours, if there is any, right? But we want to forego the pain again and the suffering. And that's not exactly like what we're meant to do as humans. We came here to feel and feel the full range. And again, if I want to bring it back, like Kuan Yin, like she reminds us of that.
Well, I love this conversation, friend. And I think it brought up a lot of things to chew on. And yeah, I think it sounds so nice. Compassion, love, mercy, but to embody it through our choices and our interactions every day is a whole other thing. And I just want to commend you for what you do and for, you know, leading and living an example of a compassionate life. And, you know, it's my hope that I can also keep that at the forefront of my ethical compass as I'm making daily choices.
And you too, friend. Thank you so much for your wisdom and what you brought to this conversation. I feel like every time we get together, we can just go on and on and on because we can dive deep. But I really appreciate you and everything you said today.
Yes. So much love to you, besties. Let us know what you think about this conversation. If you have anything to add, hit us up on Instagram. And what goddess do you want to hear about next? Yeah. Let us know.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.